This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. Another year for the Knox County Health Department to do something that you might think is not necessarily in their wheelhouse, but it certainly is. They are the administrator locally for LIHEAP, the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program, and it's pretty much time to start getting that taken care of, especially ahead of this winter. So we're going to talk about that with Aaron Olson and Will Hayes at the Health Department who are here. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
I shouldn't really say that it's a fair statement to say that it's not something that's in your wheelhouse, because I think it certainly sort of parallels in a way a lot of the things you already do, doesn't it, Will?
Yeah, you know, it's not what we consider to be a traditional public health program. Mm-hmm. At the same time, it parallels exactly what we do. Our goal is to be out helping the community in any way we can. LIHEAP is just one more feather in our hat where we can help provide assistance to our community where it's needed. And it also brings a lot of people under our door to find out about the other services we have to offer.
Yeah, I remember, I think, Aaron, talking to you about that last year, and I think that was probably the one area that maybe were but weren't expecting, was how you were able to expose more of the general public to what else the health department does.
Yeah, that was one of our biggest things that we looked at as a positive last year. We weren't sure what, you know, how it would really work, but having people walking in, we had over 2,000 new customers, you know, coming into our doors last year. And we had some that we would refer to our WIC program or to our medical center. And we had some medical center or WIC customers who were then referred to the LIHEAP program. So as you guys both said, it parallels. It did help, you know, our customers coming in to streamline the process of, if you need help with your power right now, but you have, you know, you're needing a doctor, we can walk you over, you know, and talk to those people and get that appointment set up. So it was a great learning process, and we think it went very, very well last year.
And I imagine it probably, I guess maybe it makes more sense than one might think, because, you know, you're providing, you know, medical services and things like that to people who might not otherwise be able to afford them, with LIHEAP being something that, you know, you're helping people out who might otherwise be able to afford their heating bills this winter.
You're exactly right. That's a big thing. You know, they come in and it is an income-based program when they come in, but we have a lot of people who this is a program that some of our elderly folks who come in, Will and I will, they're just amazing, because they'll come in this year and they're still budgeting and working off some of their money, that their funds that they got last year for it. So they are so good with it. And we love having them come in and just being able to utilize all the services across our building.
Talk about, this is the second year you're doing this, right? Will, what did you learn in that first year, other than, you know, just kind of exposing people to the health department's other services?
We learned a lot of things. So, you know, one of the big things is dealing with the program. Most of what we deal with is IDPH. This is
the Department of Public Health.
Yes, the Illinois Department of Public Health. This is the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. So there's some learning curves there on our back end, just dealing with another state agency. But one of the things that we really learned is there is just some incredible people who use this program. Some of them depend on this program really to help them out annually. But just the vast variety of people that came through our building, the number of individuals who had no idea of what all we do already, mm-hmm. who, you know, we're bringing them in and we're helping them out with this. And they're like, oh, you guys have a dentist here? I can go see a dentist. Or, oh, I didn't know you guys did WIC. I'm going to have to tell my granddaughter or my daughter to come in and take a look at that. Or, oh, hey, I should go over there. So as Aaron kind of talked about, we knew we were going to get that crossover. We just had no idea how great it would be. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, we had no idea what to expect numbers wise. As Aaron mentioned, over 2,000 individuals, our applications were taken in and helped out. Our staff were incredibly busy. We also realized our phone system has some challenges with the number of calls we get early on. And that's one of the reasons why we do promote people, walking in to make appointments, especially days like October 1st, which is a day that we figure we'll probably see quite a few people. We're going to have it set up so that individuals can walk in and make an appointment on a walk-in basis versus just having to call in. Because we do know that we only have so many lines coming to the health department. They get tied up very quickly when you have a lot of people calling.
Certainly do. So speaking of appointments then, things pretty much officially started a week ago, right?
Yeah, the appointments started kicking off. This is the first year that they've allowed us to start making appointments earlier in September, which we started on September 16th. And we have filled a couple weeks into October already, but the phone lines, and you can call any day. You can still walk in, but we start seeing customers and taking appointments. We already have appointments scheduled on October 1st, but please call us at 344-2224 or walk in and schedule an appointment. We're going to be scheduling about 28 appointments a day.
Wow.
Is what we will see. And probably through the month of December. So we usually fill pretty quickly with our different priority groups, because priority group one is our 60 and above and those with a disability. And that is currently what we're taking phone calls and appointments for now. Starting November 1st, those with children under the age of 5, along with priority group one, can call. And then starting December 1st, it is all other homes.
Let's kind of go one at a time here. For the priority group one, you mentioned it's a lot of the older population, but talk about some of those other guidelines and requirements for this first group.
Well, it's over the age of 60 or with a disability.
Okay.
So that group's pretty straightforward as to which ones are available. If you do have a disability, it has to be a documented disability. If you've applied for disability or you're in the process of applying, that does not count. The way the program is set up, it has to be you've already been approved and you can prove it.
Okay. And then the second group, that will be for appointments that will be taken starting November 1st. That's more the people with sort of a younger population, right, Erin?
Yeah. Priority group two consists of households with children under the age of 5. So they can call in, and it can also include priority group one calling in also. But anybody with children in the household under the 5 and younger can call in to set appointments.
Okay. Let's talk about qualifications for the program then. What income-wise and that sort of thing?
The income is 150% of poverty.
Okay.
Just as an example, a two-person household can make a gross monthly income of $2,114 for a family of two. For a family of four, they can earn up to $3,219 a month. Mm-hmm. For their gross income. And then it just continually keeps going up. But we look at income, and that is the biggest thing that we base, the customers coming in on. And if they do qualify, once we know they qualify and they hit one of their priority groups, it's just bringing in very simple documentation into our building.
Such as
your proof of Social Security cards for all members in the household. So however many people you have in there, we need Social Security cards for everybody. We need gross income for all household members, and that can be anything from, pay stubs to Social Security sheets, any of that information. We also need a current copy of the most recent heating bill within the last 30 days, and if they receive any assistance from the Department of Human Services, such as TANF or such of that nature. So income and heating bill have to be within the past 30 days.
Have you dealt with, in the year or so that you've been doing this now, are there still misconceptions that come up or things that maybe people don't realize that either they need or don't know about LIHEAP?
I would say there's definitely a lot of misconceptions. First of all, as Erin mentioned, it's 150% of poverty level. Mm-hmm. A lot more people qualify for it than they may realize. The other thing with it is this program has some other aspects to it. There's a portion of it called PIP, which is basically a kind of like a budget billing scenario is the best way to describe it.
Okay.
We do have a limited number of applications we can accept for that each month during the priority groups through December. But if someone's interested in that when they come in, sit down, they definitely need to talk to our staff about it. The key with PIP, though, is you have to be able to make your monthly payment.
Sure.
If you miss once, you're out of that program and you can't re-sign up. The nice thing is, though, a lot of people get more money with PIP over the period. So it's about can you budget and make your payments. Along with that, another huge misconception is this program is meant to be a supplemental heating program.
Sure.
So it's not that, I've got this chunk of money from LIHEAP, so I stopped making my power bill payment. No, you still need to be paying your bill as best you can, making some payments every month on it. We also have a component to this program, which is a furnace assistance. If your furnace is not working, we potentially could help you get it back working if you own your house. Now, it's not a furnace replacement program, as some people think. It's about repairing the furnace if at all possible. Now, if the furnace can't be repaired, then they will do a replacement.
Sure. Okay. I also know that Ameren, through its separate Energy Assistance Foundation, provides help to people who can't pay their heating and electric bill as well. Is that parallel to this? Is that a separate thing? Does that disqualify you from further assistance or anything like that?
No, it doesn't disqualify you for any other assistance. It's just as two different programs.
Sure.
That they will, you know, they can fill out the applications for and work towards. We primarily work with Ameren. Most of our direct vendor payments are all to Ameren. But one of the things with the program is, on top of the PIP program and the furnace assistance program, is I think a lot of people don't realize that we don't just cover Ameren. If you have LP, you know, and you use feral gas, or you use FS, you know, for your gas or oil or anything like that, you can also come in, because we can also help. You might have Ameren and an LP tank. Like, you know, that's what I have. You can have both of those, and you can get the assistance for both programs, which is wonderful. And I don't think a lot of, I don't want to call us country folks, but I think a lot of us country folks
speak
out in
for
the
yourself,
country.
Aaron.
I know. But I think a lot of people don't realize that, I have LP. And that's a big expense.
Oh, sure it is.
When you're looking at it. And we had more people than we thought last year to come in and do that. And one of the big things that we did learn from last year, too, is going out into the community and going to other communities outside of Galesburg.
Yeah, you did
a huge thing for
us. Yeah, you ended up doing a lot of that last year, didn't you?
We did. We went out of the community and went to Abingdon. We went to Knoxville. And this year, we are scheduled to go to all five of the, I guess I'd call them, the high-rise moon towers, you know, Galesburg Towers,
the Whiting public Hall, housing the, facilities.
You know, we're going to all of those for 2 days each.
Okay.
And then we're also, this winter, we're going to go to Yates City.
Okay.
To those, you know, to there. We're going to go to Abingdon. We're also working with Oneida right now to try to get a location there for people who we know have transportation needs also, so we can go to their community and we can get them hopefully on the program.
All right, I'm out of time. So once again, how can folks get a hold of you and get a hold of you without Will's phone having smoke come out of it again this year?
Well, they have two options. Either they can call the health department at 309-344-2224 to set an appointment, or anytime during our normal business hours between 8 and 4:30, they're welcome to walk in and set an appointment to the health department directly.
And their LIHEAP has a website, correct?
They do have a website that you can go to for it, and you can go to LIHEAPIllinois.com, and you can search where there is locations. If you're not in Knox County, you can search locations for whatever county that you are in to find one.
And we'll link to that on WGIL.com with this interview. Will Hayes and Aaron Olson with the Knox County Health Department, thanks for coming in. Hope everything else is going well out there these days.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. Stay tuned. We'll have business news and sports before that next on Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL.